This message is brought to you by Cedar Springs Church. For more information, please visit cedarspringschurchnm.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we'll be starting in verse 10. We are standing at the doorstep of what, do you know? 2025. Does that frighten you? If you're anything like me, well, let's not say that. That's probably the best thing I'll say all day, Lynn. You do not want to be like me. When I stand at this change of seasons or times, in particular with our calendar, we have an end date and a beginning date, and we change years. And I have a tendency to reminisce through what happened the year prior and then worry about what's going to happen in the next year. Don't ask me why I worry, but I do. What's unknown to us sometimes is frightening. And so I want to start there because I've often wondered if God gave me an announcement. Here's what 2025 will be. If he offered, would I take the offer? I don't know. I really don't know. But what if we had an announcement? Announcements are for what? This was no announcement day. But normally announcements prepare us, don't they? Some way, one way or the other. Either we mark our calendar or we get ready, what have you, on down the line. We become aware of something that's going to happen, and then we make our plans around that, okay? So there's a couple of words today that we're going to look at, and I want you to keep it in mind. And one is a subset of the other. Be aware is kind of a neutral English word. It's not good, it's not bad, it can be bad. But when it becomes bad, it becomes beware. You see that? Beware has this hint, if you will, of danger that you need to avoid. To where the word be aware is more neutral, it's an information word. Let me give you a couple of examples. Be aware. Okay, they would prefer that you not swim because, okay, it's a choking hazard for the alligators. That's be aware, okay? Next one. This is just plain and simple fact. I just got my man card pulled. Where beware is different. Here's an example of beware. It's a $200 fine. You know what I'm saying? You die and you get fined for it. Here's another beware. All those years, I thought that was some Vulcan thing. No. Pause. He was telling you, don't play with super glue. Okay? And I was able, it took a little while, but I found it. Pay attention, Lynn. I found it. I found one photo that has both words in it. Are you ready? Beware and be aware. Ready? There. Okay, Lynn, I can't do this now. I've tested this. Here it is. Is that it? Does it not show on there? It doesn't show on there. Gosh, on all of my presentations at the VA, it showed. Okay, right here is be aware. It's called a warning shot. Okay, she owns a weapon. Just be aware, okay? If you're not being aware and you push the issue, it's beware. Okay, the pattern gets tighter. Okay, be aware, beware. Do you get it? You understand what I'm saying? Those two words are going to be really important today. keep him in mind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, your mercies are never ending. In some ways, 24 was difficult. But for all the plans you have for us, we know that it works together for the good, for your glory. Father, we would pray the same for the coming year. If you come tomorrow, if you come the next day, that we would be ready. And Father, that you would fill our heart with joy no matter what. And that as we enter the new year, if it's your will, God, I pray that we would honor you in all that we say and do, and you'd bring glory to your name all year. Father, open our eyes and our ears to your word, and don't let us leave until you've changed us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with just a quick review of chapter 3, only because Paul has made a major turn here. And the first part of chapter 3, when we looked at verses 1 through 9, this was in the ABCs that we're marching through in each chapter of Galatians. This was the A. This was Paul's appeal. And Paul is appealing to the church at Galatia over these things. Paul says that you need to realize, Galatians, that your spiritual justification was by hearing with faith. Your spiritual sanctification was the same way. Verse 3 is by hearing with faith. And he gets all of this down. He says your own scriptures even verify this. In fact, look at verse 9. He says, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." And so this was his appeal before the Galatians. In fact, you'll remember he used a really strong word there. He says, "You foolish Galatians." And you'll remember that the word "foolish" there was basically a call out to them. It was a wake-up call. He didn't call them morons, okay? That word is not moron in the Greek, but he's got his toe on the line. You are one inch short of being a moron. Oh, foolish Galatians, your faith has saved you. Your faith will keep you. And if you really want to be an heir of Abraham, do it the way he did it. It was by faith. Okay, that was Paul's appeal to the Galatians. But today we go in chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and the B of the ABCs here, the B is be aware or beware. Okay, in the first part, in 10 through 12, he's going to talk about being aware of the law that curses, and then 13 to 14, be aware of the Christ who redeems us from being the curse. Now, before we get started, let's understand what he means when he uses the word curse. When Paul says that it is a curse or you're being cursed, he's talking about being subjected to divine punishment, okay? A condemnation, an enemy, if you will, of God. And he's saying, if you are cursed, you are an enemy of God, subject to divine punishment and condemnation from the holy. And as we read through this first part, I want you to pay particular attention to not only the pronouns that he uses, but the verbs that he uses to bring his point home, okay? So let's look at it. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. Starting in verse 10. "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them." The very first thing that you want to see in this is Paul says, be aware, or more accurately, beware of the curse of the law. Look at the first part of verse 10 again. "For all Don't discount that word. For all who rely on the works of the law. What's he talking about? What's he saying? For all who rely on, for all who depend on the works of their law, for what? Well, he's actually echoing back to the first part, chapter 3, in verses 2 and 3, both their salvation and their sanctification. He's saying, for you guys that are relying on your works of the law, he's saying, oh, you foolish Galatians. He's echoing back to that. The Judaizers, as you know, had come along, and they were saying that, okay, you have faith in Christ. We get that. We'll agree with you that. However, or in English, but, in Southern Illinois language, but, which negates everything that you just said. You need to become a Jew in order to retain that. Therefore, circumcision, following the law, works of the law. And Paul says no. He says, for those of you who think you will be received by God or that you're going to get right and stay right with God, Paul says you are under a curse, condemned, okay? Apart from the holy, subject to divine punishment. Look at it when you combine verse 9 and verse 10 and look at the contrast. So then, those who are of what? Faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For those who rely on what? Works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Do you see how he contrasted them? It's so evident in our culture, and we've talked about this before, that we are readily able and willing, if not wanting, to accept a blessing. We pray that over other people, don't we? We ask for a blessing over their home. We ask for a blessing over their children, their newborns. We ask for blessings as people come to Christ in their life. But we don't believe in curses. We just don't in our culture. We think it has something to do with a doll and a pen. Tell me I'm wrong. Or some dark magic that someone has imposed upon you. No, no. Blessings are the opposite side of a curse. God put them in place. Read the Deuteronomy, okay? It's there, blessings and curses. These are real. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, the first 6 verses are blessings. Thereafter are curses. God put that in place. And Paul says, you're cursed because you're relying on your works of the law. And he's saying, beware, Galatians. There is a damnation involved with all of this. Do you remember back in chapter 1 when he used the word anathema? Do you remember that? And he pronounced an anathema on those who were preaching a different gospel? A lot of blank looks here. Anathema being a condemnation, a damnation in our straight up vocabulary, sent to hell for those preaching another gospel. This is the other gospel he's talking about. Not only those who preach it, but the other gospel is condemned. Do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand how serious the sin? Paul isn't saying this is part of the issue. Paul's saying this is the issue. Okay? He's making a distinction between the two, between works and faith. And he's saying, beware. He gets real plain in verses 11 and 12. Look at this. Now it is evident. What's the word evident mean? In plain English, clear. He's just laying out in clear English. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. I can't make that any clearer. I can't. If you underline in your Bible, go right ahead, right now. If you don't underline in your Bible, underline in your neighbor's Bible. Okay? It can't be any clearer. Notice the pronoun he used. No one. He's gone from everybody to pointing a finger. Singular. No one is justified before God by the law. Because he says in the last part, the righteous shall live by faith. He pulls that right out of the scripture, Habakkuk 2:4. Look at verse 12. Same thing. But the law is not of faith. Can anybody make that any clearer? It's evident that the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. That's right out of Leviticus. He quotes Leviticus 18:5, and it all points back to Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law and do them. If you're going to do one, you got to do them all. If you don't do them all, you're condemned, you're cursed. And Paul's making this argument. And Paul says, beware. That's the bold message as he contrasts works and faith. So the summary of the very first section here that Paul has in, be aware, he says, Galatians, oh foolish Galatians, I might add, be aware, because relying on works of the law puts you under a curse. Because relying on one work, you have to do them all. You're responsible for them all. Because no one is justified before God by the law, and the law is not of faith. Galatians, beware. It's that simple. It's that clear. The law cannot save you. It did not save you. The law cannot keep you. It will not keep you. It's a lose-lose situation. Do you see that? Oh, Galatians, be aware. Well, starting in verse 13, he turns it around and he gives the antithesis of the law, okay, the opposite. He turns it over now and goes to his argument as he contrasts these realities. The first point being, be aware of the curse of the law. His second point being, be aware of Christ who redeems us from the curse, okay? The second point being, be aware, Galatians, of the Christ who redeems us from the curse. Look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. I want you to look at the first part of that verse because this is probably the most succinct expression of the gospel anywhere in the Bible. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Be aware, Galatians, this is what Christ did. He bought us back. You were owned by the curse. Do you get that? Because of your sin, because of the fact that you could not keep the law perfectly, the law owned you. Christ bought you back. He purchased you. How did he do it? This is the interesting part right here, because I think it goes much deeper, and I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to explain it. I'm just going to throw it on the table, and I want you to mull it over. So much of the time, we talk about Christ taking on our sin. Paul takes it one step deeper. I had this idea that there's a post-it note out there with all my sins on it. And Christ puts it on. I'm not trying to be flippant. I'm just saying, so you have Christ hanging on the cross with a lot of post-it notes. Paul says, I'm taking it one step further. Read it again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by what? Look at that closely. Becoming a curse. Christ became the curse. It's more than post-it notes all over him with my sin and your sin. Paul says he became the curse. This was after being whipped. This was after being nailed to a cross. This was after being mocked for who he said he was, and he actually is. This is after all of that. Do you understand now when he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you understand it now? Because he became a curse. What's the curse? When God forsakes you, that's the curse. And he had to forsake him because he became the curse. Do you understand that? It wasn't the post-it notes. He became the curse for us. And God turned his back on him. The only way I can describe that in our terms is this. Think in your mind of the most vile person you've either ever come across or you've read about in history. For some of you my age, it may be Adolf Hitler. A little younger, it may be Osama bin Laden. Unspeakable things that these people did. Paul says, child's play. Child's play. Do you realize that Jesus was the most obscene individual that ever walked the planet on that day when he hung on the cross? The most obscene, filthy person ever. Because he took a curse that was supposed to have been mine. Be aware, Galatians. What Christ did, he ransomed you back from that. From the Mosaic law that you could not keep, you were never able to keep, that was only a mirror to show that you could not keep it. He became the punishment that we deserved. He became the curse. Be aware, you got bought back from that. Well, the totality of Paul's message is there, we've read it, 10 through 13. But there's another one in there, another beware. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 is going to talk about, he says, be aware of the resulting blessing that you received of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So Paul is saying, be aware that there was a result here, and the result was that in Christ Jesus that we received the blessing of Abraham. This is really what the Galatians were being sold on by the Judaizers, saying you cannot receive the blessings of the Jews, being an heir, if you will, of the Jewish culture and faith, being of God's people, unless you somehow become a Jew. And Paul says, no, that is not right. He says, in Christ Jesus, look at verse 14, the blessing of Abraham. Well, so what's the blessing of Abraham? It's like Pastor Grant says, I'm glad you ask. You're so easy to preach to. You ask the right questions. The blessings of Abraham is basically the kingdom of God. God's people in God's presence under God's rule. That's what he promised Abraham, okay? When you sum it all up, that's it. And Abraham was made righteous before God because he believed him, okay? Look at verse 2. How does all this happen? Let me ask you this. Verse 2, chapter 3. Did you receive the Spirit of works, Spirit by works, or of the law by hearing with faith? How did this happen? Look at verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? How does this happen? Look at verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That word believed. He faithed God. How does this happen? Look at verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. How does this happen? Look at verse 9. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. How does this happen? Look at verse 29, the very end of the chapter. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Oh, foolish Galatians, your works have nothing to do with it. It's in Christ, faith in Christ, apart from works. Just as Abraham received justifications, sanctifications, and the blessings of God's presence under his rule in his place, so shall you by faith. Be aware, Galatians, of the curse of the law. Be aware of Christ who redeemed us from the curse. Be aware that there are results of what Christ did. This is the blessings of Abraham. But there's two others in there. And these are more application, and you'll say, well, that's evident when I say it. I hope you say that. But there's two things here that I want you to understand. Two more be-awares, if you will. And it's going to sound elementary, but stay with me. Number one, be aware, nothing has changed. Nothing. What Paul is saying to them, the same gospel that was preached to Abraham, you'll see that in verse 11, is the same gospel that is preached to us today. Abraham put his faith in God. God declared him righteous. He believed God would do what he said he would do. Period. End of story. We believe and put faith in God as what he has done for us, is doing for us, and will continue to do for us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Be aware, nothing has changed. By faith, we believe for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Be aware that by faith, 1 Peter 2:24, we believe that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. Nothing has changed. Be aware, by faith, we believe, 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. The gospel is clear. Be aware of the curse of the law. Be aware of Christ who redeemed us from the curse. Be aware that there was a resulting blessing because of that. And be aware that nothing has changed. I hope that's evident. But there's one more. And this is the one that it's, again, really elementary. But, Gary, I'm going to steal your line. I think it's a process. And so don't laugh, because I think it's really serious. Be aware, you no longer have a curse. You think, well, that's understood, that's elementary. No, I don't think it is. I don't know that that's our mindset. I don't know that that's how I live. That's the conclusion to all that Paul is saying here. But the fact of being aware that we no longer have a curse, that we're free from it, I'm not sure that runs through our minds. In our daily lives, I'm not sure to take Paul's verbs. I'm not sure that that's how I abide. I'm not sure that's how I live. I'm not sure that's how I rely on Christ day to day. I'm not sure. Does my life reflect what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11? Look at it. So you must consider yourself, what? Dead to sin. And alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you consider yourself dead to sin? I'm not sure we do. I'll show you one thing, and I'll give you, this is why I wore this thing today, because it's like, I am burning up right now, okay? Normally I'm cold, I'm just a cold guy. But here it is, all right? The only illustration that I can do. That's how we live. Now I'm going to tell you that that is... You're wondering, how am I going to get out of this hole, aren't you? I'm going to tell you that that's good theology for an unbeliever. Christ is looking around the corner. And don't think it's not all marked down. It is. You're cursed. This is real. The second thing is it's fun, because that's kind of, hey... And, I used to tell people, you need to get a cutout of who you think God looks like and just carry him around with you just so you realize that he does know. He sees you when you're sleeping. Okay. The point is, it's funny theology, but I'm telling you, this is bad theology for a believer. It's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It's bad theology for a believer. Here's the reason why. Pastor Grant has hammered on this, if you paid attention, in the advent of hope. Every sermon, it came back around to God is happy to see you. We can walk into his presence. Think about that. That veil is gone. Our high priest went ahead of us. The sermon that got me the most was, I'm God's inheritance. And all I could think of was, God, you picked a loser. Seriously. God said, no, I didn't. Because I don't have a curse. Grant put it like this. When Jesus sees you, he says, what sin? That's the shirt you need. That's who you are in Christ Jesus by faith. If you're trying to work, not so much. But you are without a curse. And this is what Paul's bringing to light. The difference between stated theology and practical theology. Grabbing hold of God's promises. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Listen closely. There is therefore now... What? No condemnation, no curse for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. What Paul is exposing is saved by faith versus still trying to convince God that I'm worth saving, that he made a good deal. The big question is, what shirt do you have? One that has Jesus peering at you, condemning you because you are, or the one that says, I'm happy to see you. You're my inheritance. Folks, for me, the only word I can describe is if I don't live as though I am not cursed, then I'm stinking miserable. When I approach God with this line, "Oh God, don't hate me, but," and then I finish the sentence with whatever heinous sin I've committed. God does not hate you. If God hated you, you would be cursed and eternally damned. God does not hate you. God loves you. I can't fathom that I am His inheritance. He loves me. He's happy to see me. He's happy to see you. Why? Because you are curseless. Jesus became the curse for you. I can't get my head around that so much of the time. He hated our sin and He put it on His Son. Done. I finished a book recently that there was a quote in it by, and I can't even pronounce the author's name, Dan Soolsey. And it hit home for me for some reason. Sometimes some people will put things into words and, okay, I got it. God does not deal with you as your sin deserves. God has dealt with Christ as your sin deserves. Do you get it? He made His Son my sin. Jesus was sin, the most vile person on the planet. And God dealt with His Son. He didn't deal with me. Aren't you glad? There comes that point when you and I need to realize we have no curse. We need to realize that God's presence is the outflow of His very promises. We need to learn to live in, abide in, and rely on scriptures that say, I'm a child of God. I'm Jesus' friend. I'm no longer a slave. I've been adopted. I've been saved by grace through faith. I have peace with God. I'm loved by Jesus and freed from my sin by His blood. I've been forgiven all my sins. I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit. I'm a fellow citizen with the rest of God's family. I'm a partaker of Christ. I share in His life. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm a saint. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I've been justified. I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ, and I have all that I need. That is curseless. Saints who are the warriors, especially of 2025. Here's the message of the season. Here's your announcement. Here's your be aware. You are no longer cursed. You're redeemed. You're God's own, all by faith in Christ, who became your curse. He's not peering around the corner at you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear God, so many times I've accused You of making a bad deal, but it was Your deal because You loved me, and when You took the curse from me, God, I'm so grateful. Father, help me live like that the remainder of this year, the next year, whatever years You give me. God, that I would live not like I'm a curse, but like I'm Your inheritance. God, thank You for being happy to see us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.